Programming is made possible in part by a grant from Birkenstock Concepts by Heel to Toe in downtown Urbana. For over 25 years, offering all sizes and widths of Birkenstocks, from clogs and sandals to work, dress, and sport shoes. Birkenstock Concepts offers repair and modification services and a certified podorthist and orthotist on staff. Programs on WILL are made possible in part by a grant from Christopher's Fine Jewelry Design, a gallery of imaginative jewelry and gifts in downtown Champaign, offering one-of-a-kind custom design, gemstone round tables, and conflict-free diamonds direct from Canada.
Programs also made possible by the support of our listeners, the friends of WILL. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn, the host of the Afternoon Magazine. As the host of the program, I've enjoyed many interviews over the years. And what we try and do here on the Afternoon Magazine is bring guests to you, people that you're interested in, and then invite you to talk with them. You have seemed to respond to that over the years. We've had a lot of great conversations here with our guests on the Afternoon Magazine, thanks to our listener calls. What we also do is we also serve the listener, you, our listener, by putting these interviews on our website. And Jack Brighton is with me this afternoon in the studio. He's our Director of Internet Services. So it really is about the listener, right, Jack?
Absolutely right. Absolutely. We put all our interviews on the website in real audio format, and over the past few months, we also added MP3 downloadable files for each program that we air. I put together a little automation system that puts things out within about 5 to 10 minutes after the interview's over. It is on the website. These archives go back 2, 3, sometimes 4 years into the past. And if I had a little bit more time, I could actually reach back further and bring back interviews from 5, 10 years ago that we have on analog tape. So that'll be a bit of a project, but I'm looking forward to doing that.
Yeah.
And we're also streaming in real audio and also Windows Media live, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. One of the things that I want to add in the next couple of weeks, hopefully, would be a live QuickTime stream. So people who prefer that format, people who have requested that, we will offer that on our website as soon as possible. But, you know, we're doing this pretty much on a shoestring. If we had real resources, that would be absolutely wonderful. But
I was just going to ask you, how much did you manage to scratch out from from those of us who put the budget together last year?
Well, yeah,
was
you don't want to give you a hard time about
dollars.
That. You know, basically we're using donated equipment, recycled computers, and, you know, shareware and stuff that we can get that is relatively inexpensive. And there's a lot of stuff out there. So, you know, we can get a lot of value for very little investment. Yeah. But, you know, there are a lot of things that we could do with the website if we had more resources. So, you know, I'm constantly looking for ways to generate more resources and improve the way we're doing things.
Things that we need to do.
Absolutely right.
And one of the ways we can generate more resources is to have more friends join us.
That's what we need right now. We need you to go to your telephone. 217-244-9455 is the pledge number to call right now. We have volunteers standing by. You can support, you know, the Afternoon Magazine, all things considered, all the programs you hear on the air. You can support the website. However you think of it, we need your support. You can also go to our website and make a contribution online, WILL.UIUC.edu. So, again, the pledge line, we especially like to hear the phone ring because that's a little audible feedback, you know, during these pledge drives. 217-244-9455.
And let's check in briefly with Maeve Riley, the editor of Patterns, our program guide. Maeve, you're standing by. You are ready to hop on a phone if needed.
That's right. We had a flurry of activity within the last hour,
and now
things have kind of slowed down a little, so we need to get those phones ringing again. 217-244-9455. We've got Ann and Valerie standing by, ready to take your call. Give us a call. 217-244-9455.
And to our listeners, of course, thanks for listening to the Afternoon Magazine. And a special thanks to those of you who have called us this week with a pledge of financial support. And we'd like to say thank you to those who are just about ready to make that call. So give us a call right now. 217-244-9455. Thanks. This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. I'm Celeste Quinn. Our guest this afternoon, WILL station manager Jay Pierce. We got a sneak preview of Jay's appearance here on the program just a moment ago when he joined Jack and I and Maeve in that little pledge break. If you have something you'd like to say about the WILL stations, something to say about the programming here on WILL AM or FM, give us a call. Jay would like to hear from you. The numbers to call if you'd like to talk to Jay this afternoon, 333-9455. That's the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Welcome back to the Afternoon Magazine.
Thanks, Celeste. Great to be here. Always good to hear what's on the mind of the audience.
Well, last time you joined us, you were program director and interim station manager, and now you're interim program director and station manager. So maybe we could start there. Anything you want to talk about in terms of programming?
Well, not much is changing right now. It's the constant challenge to deal with the budget. That's what it is. We're pretty steady right at the moment. We're still putting some finishing touches on the current year's budget. It's a long, drawn-out process because of the fact that the federal fiscal year is not the same as the state fiscal year, so we get different amounts of money at different times, and we don't know exactly how much that's going to be until the check comes in. But anyway, we're dealing with some situations right now that... we're holding steady, I think. I think we're going to do okay. I think we'll make it until the end of this fiscal year. I will be the manager and program director until the end of the fiscal year. As for the next fiscal year, well, listeners are in part helping to decide that right now. One of the things that we're dealing with that I'll say right off the bat is the fact that in the last 3 years, our tax-based support, that's the money we get from the federal government, the state government, and the University of Illinois, has gone down by a third of $1 million. That's about $330,000. And listener support has increased, and we're very grateful for that, but that increase has been about $180,000. So if you do some quick math, you'll find out that over the past 3 years, the radio stations here have lost about $150,000 that we used to have to work with. And so we're, here 3 years ago, we had another news person. We had another agriculture person. We had a full-time traffic person who does all the scheduling of programs and underwriting and everything else. And we had a program director and a manager. And, now we've had to consolidate a lot of these positions, and everybody's working a little bit harder. We've put off some equipment repairs to the point where we have rubber bands on these microphone stands now, and I think one's going to break and put someone's eye out if we don't change it pretty soon. We're faced with some situations out at our transmitter facilities where our FM station was off the air Sunday morning for a while, and some of the listeners, when it came back on, said I was panicked. I thought you were gone. We're dealing with some aging infrastructure. And to deal with some of these budgetary situations here, we've had to put off some of that because, we've said, well, what we put on the air in the way of a product is must be the priority. And so we've focused our attention trying to maintain the editorial content of the programming with a reduced programming staff. We have a reduced engineering staff as well and reduced engineering budget. And so we have some tower work that we have to do. We have some opinions that say that our FM television tower near Monticello is in pretty bad shape. One opinion says if we get a coating of ice on it this winter and a 30-mile-an-hour wind, it may fall. So we had a second opinion done. We're working with the university to see what we can do about that. That's a $500,000 job out there. Has to be done. Someone has to pay for it. The AM tower has been bending for a couple of years because we need to get the guy wires tightened and worked on out there. Our backup transmitter, thanks to our engineers, is back in shape. It's this archaic thing that looks like something out of a science fiction movie that fills about half the transmitter room. The newer one is, I want to say, 12 to 15 years old. That's our new one. So we have some needs that we have to take care of. And so as I move into the position of manager with a big responsibility for overseeing this, you know, it used to be that I would go to Dan Simeone and go, Dan, we gotta have money for programming. And I guess I made a pretty good case. But now that I'm sitting on the other side of the desk and I'm looking at these infrastructure problems that we have, combined with trying to keep the programming going and $150,000 less to work with than 3 years ago and costs increasing, it's a balancing act. And I guess the only thing I can do right now is, and then we should take some phone calls, is to say, this is a really critical year for listener support to increase even more. We're in a phase where I don't, and nobody else that I talk to in public radio thinks that tax-based support is going to increase significantly ever again. That's not the way it's going. It's going the other way. It's going toward listener support. We're engaging in something called the Major Giving Initiative here, which is not an on-air campaign, to go out and find better ways to raise local support for these stations, significant local support. As far as the on-air pledge drives go, they will continue to fund the day-to-day operational support. They now account for 40% of our Friends of WILL contributions, and all of the new Friends of WILL join as a result of on-air pledge drives. This is the way that we have to effectively reach listeners who do not currently contribute. And still only one person who listens to the station out of every 10 who listen contributes to help keep this operation going. Yet, about half of the money it takes to run the station now must come from listeners, and that percentage is going to continue to increase. It's not going to go the other way.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, that's sort of a summation.
That's a scene setter for you.
Okay, so let's take some calls. Let's invite folks to join us this afternoon if you'd like to talk with WILL station manager Jay Pierce. Give us a call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Let's talk with a listener in Urbana on line one. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi.
I am a long-time listener and a medium long-time supporter of WILL. I have to admit, the first couple years, I thought, oh, well, we don't really have to contribute. And, of course, over the years, we've really understood how absolutely critical even our small contribution is, along with everybody else's small contribution. So I understand, and, you know, nobody does a better job in this whole country than WILL, AM, FM, and TV, you know, so there's no question as to your quality and the quality of the programming that comes across. But I did have a question, which I hope doesn't sound very mean-spirited. Seems to me that a couple of years ago, you would list the financial record of how much came in, what the development cost was, what the overhead cost was, and you don't do that anymore. And the one year that I vaguely remember that I wanted to ask somebody about is, I swear, it looked like the development cost were X, and the amount that you got was X times 2, and that it seemed that for every dollar you spent on development, only $2 were brought in. And I know that your development has grown and grown and grown over the years, and I know you do many things, such as doing your off-the-air recruiting and for financial support, and I know you do your business recruiting, and I know you do long-time giving and foundation work, and I know you do all these things. But I thought, I wonder how much it costs in fundraising as to how much is given, because it's shame on us public if it really is $1 spent for $2 that come in financial support.
That's an interesting question. I don't have an immediate answer for you per se, although I have just been handed the October 2004 Patterns magazine by Maeve Riley, our Patterns editor, and we do list these costs in it.
Well, you do it by percentages.
Well, this is by dollars, actual dollar figures.
But it's not dollars cost against dollars earned.
Yeah, well, let me look at it for a second here and get kind of oriented to it.
I think the last time I remembered it is before you did your pie shape, whatever year
was. Okay.
I think it was in the year before that. And if indeed we are causing you to spend $1 for every $2 that you receive from us, it's shame on us public that we are forcing you to do this. And I know that we are over 50% now of the running of the two stations?
Well, it's 47 right now.
47.
Well, now it could be more, but, you know, that's if we had more listener support, it would be more. I'll put it that way. But, yeah, it's 47% right now. Yeah, this doesn't list the costs. This isn't the one that you were thinking about. Yeah. Well, I'll bring that up with our development director, Debbie Day, and seek, because that might be a revealing thing for
listeners. Yes, I remember when Debbie Day was your only development person.
Yeah, yeah, she's been here since we began.
And I know that the community is bigger. I know that you've expanded your services over the years. You know, I'm just appalled that we who listen to the radio allow you to be put in such a bind of having to spend so much money on fundraising.
Well, you would hope that it would just be intuitive, but, you know, again, there's that statistic, and we know it because we know how many listeners, well, an estimate of how many listeners we have, and we know how many friends for WILL we have, and it is basically for every 10 listeners, one person contributes. And we must, as you note, write many letters. That happens behind the scenes.
Right.
I sign and write many letters.
Right.
And we also have various events throughout the year that we have. We had a wine tasting this year. We have
and your record sales is always wonderful.
The record is a massive effort.
Right. Oh yes.
And you know, yeah, you're right. I mean, you've got to. I guess they say you have to spend money to make money.
Right.
But if you think that I'll look into that because that's
just out of curiosity.
Yeah,
but people ought to understand, you know, how much they really. If they're enjoying this, they should help even at the $40 level.
Thank you very much for your call.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It, and I don't think it sounded mean at all. It was very, very forthright. Thanks for calling,
and
thank you for your support. Thanks for listening.
Sure.
And you know, thanks for caring. And I think that's the thing, Celeste, about WILL. I got one of, I don't know, you get these comments during pledge drives all the time from people who say, when is this going to be over and I can start listening again? And, you know, I want to honestly say I'm a pretty frank person. And I don't know, maybe I violate some of the rules sometimes and some of the things I say on the air. But, you know, we all put our hearts and souls into this throughout the year and into the pledge drives. And I realize some people don't like pledge drives, and that's fine. You know, you can have your opinion. It lets a little air out of your sail when it's Thursday of the pledge drive and we've all been putting, you know, 12-hour days into it and just trying to state the case and get the response. And then somebody says, when is it going to be over so I can listen again? And, you know, I don't know. I suppose if I was a listener, it might upset me that a couple of weeks out of the year, you know, we kind of break what we normally do for a few minutes here and there and do this. But this is the way we do it. And as I said, how do we know who the new listeners are that are not currently contributors? How do we reach them if we don't do it over the air? Now, maybe there's a better way to do it over the air, but we do some of the lower key campaigns where we're not full-blown on, you know, doing the pledge drive thing, and they just don't get the response that the pledge drives do. So, you know, those of us in the public radio circles talk about this all the time. And the answers range from do more pledge drives and just bite the bullet and say, this is the way we raise money. This is part of the deal. This is part of the trade for not running commercials, perhaps. And others say, you know, well, we need to find better ways to do it. We are always exploring the best possible way to do it. So to those of you who, you know, are waiting, Well, tomorrow's the last day. Monday, we're back to normal. And I hope, you know, I hope that we have your support. And, you know, the one person who did, you know, sent a very pointed email that basically said, it does support us. That's mm-hmm. fine. And, you know, that's fine. That's an okay opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But it made me think over lunch hour today, if you wrote a job description and said wanted somebody to come, you know, work at this radio station for about 60 to 80% of what you could make at a commercial station, and your hours are going to be longer, and you're going to have to do these pledge drives where you basically have to get on the air and earn your keep, and some people are going to tell you they don't like them, and, you know, you go on, and you can add a lot of things. The people who work in this industry, in public radio, we do it for reasons other than collecting a paycheck. I'll tell you, the manager here doesn't get a car and a country club membership. And Celeste, I don't think we've given you a country club membership or some of the other perks that friends of mine in commercial radio, even in this town, you know, get. That's not the reason. It's the reason is because of the satisfaction we get in serving you, our listeners, in the best possible way with the highest quality that we can. That's what it's all about here.
Well, let's talk with some more listeners. First, we go to a caller, again in Urbana, on line one. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yeah, you mentioned you didn't think you'd ever necessarily see any more tax revenue coming in to help with public radio. You know, one idea I had, which is probably crazy, but I did hear the other day about just the billions of dollars that are being spent on the presidential campaign and the, you know, House and Senate campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, it seems public radio provides a lot of information on politics and often tries to do it in an even-handed manner. Why couldn't an application be made, you know, that some of the money that goes into politics, either for advertising, you know, through other media, you know, shouldn't perhaps be allocated to public radio to, you know, help inform mm-hmm. the public.
Yeah, well, there's an idea for you. Thanks. Maybe not that crazy. I was just thinking about that today, about the amount of money that gets spent on political campaigns. And I was also reading the article in the News Gazette where they talk about how much the stations are getting in the area in political advertising. Of course, we can't do that. We don't get a share of that pie. So,
well, you can't. I'm saying you can't advertise political advertisements.
Right.
But it would seem that an argument could be made that you are providing information on a nationwide basis
yeah.
that is pertinent. You know,
no, I agree.
The
that's
process.
Yeah, I was agreeing with you. Yeah.
And it seems that maybe people need to start writing letters or somehow trying to make something you
there
know,
you go.
happen there.
Well, thanks for bringing that idea up. Maybe somebody will take you up on it.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Let's talk with another listener, caller in Champaign, on line two. Go ahead.
Hi. I've been a fan of this station for almost 50 years. So anyway, I don't have a question, but I have several comments. One wonderful thing about radio, you can do everything else while you're listening. And I've learned much, much from the station, so I want to say thanks. And I think probably the satisfaction is probably the reason you're in the work you're in, because I know you're busting your butts, literally, to do what you're doing. And thank you. That's my comment.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you very much for the call. Thanks for the recognition.
Thanks. Let's talk with another listener, caller in Urbana, line three. Hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Yes. I just wanted to comment. Not a terribly great fan of the raising of funds, in particular from industries, more than from the listeners. But it seems to me the choice is really between fundraisers and Sinclair. And for one, I'd much rather put up with a fundraiser a few times a year than to have all of our media controlled by people like Sinclair Broadcasting.
All righty. Well, thanks for that comment. Thank you much. And, yeah, we do Just as a side, and I know this isn't what exactly his point was. We do get money from businesses around the area. I just want to make clear that in no way influences the editorial content of what we do on the radio station. It's totally separate. And I think that I, in the manager's position, am aware of the corporate, but nobody comes to me out of the development department and says, is it okay, or, this person's going to be buying some advertising or buying some underwriting a program, giving us a grant, give them special treatment. That's not even a question here. And there's a direct policy. If we run a news story and somebody who's an underwriter, calls and has a problem with it, we'll review the news story, and if it's fair and it's accurate, we've given fair treatment to it, in our opinion, that's where it ends.
Yeah. I wanted to say that a lot of the underwriters, it seems to me, and I haven't done an analysis of this, but it might be interesting to do, is to take a look at who our underwriters are. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are small business people who
are
big listeners of public radio.
Yeah.
At work and at home.
Well, and that's why it's called it's underwriting. They're giving us grants to help support our efforts, and that's what it is. It's not so much advertising, although I'll agree. Some of it you get to say the slogan of the company and this and that. So there is some element in there that you could say is advertising. Some elements of what the company is basically what that's about. Now, I'm not going to speak for NPR or beyond mm-hmm. WILL, because that's all I really know about and have control of. We run the underwriting from NPR as part of the contract for the NPR programming. So now we do have the ability to comment, as do you, on any NPR programming or element of it, and you can call the NPR ombudsman. And his name is Jeffrey Dvorkin. The best way to get a hold of him is through email at ombudsman@npr.org.
Does he ever come on shows like the Afternoon Magazine? No, I should look into that.
I bet he would.
Let's do that.
I absolutely bet he would.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He's a very nice person, and while he works for NPR, he's not necessarily a spokesperson for the administration at NPR. He's meant to be in a position where he is the advocate for the listener.
Okay, let's talk with a listener in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a member or a friend of WILL, and I very much appreciate your work and your programming. I do have this question. For your call-in shows, such as this one and David Inge in the morning, I've noticed on a few occasions recently during this very politicized presidential campaign that I've heard some callers, and I guess it really doesn't matter which, Republican, Democrat, whatever, but they were actually reading from bullet points from the party of their choice. And the host, neither the host nor the guest at that time really called the caller on that fact, and I wondered what fortunately, and on at least one occasion, a follow-up listener called up and pretty much berated the caller before, but the host for why didn't you call that previous caller on those points? So I wondered what your policy was on that. Thank you.
Well, that's a good question. It's a tough call. Why don't I defer to Celeste as the host of this program?
Oh, I don't know.
You come up against it.
That's a tough call, and it's a show by show, moment by moment kind of thing that happens.
I guess our policy in general is to let the callers have their say without us making any kind of determination.
Yeah, we do invite comments.
To an extent, however.
Yes.
As long as you're
exactly
on point. And I suppose we would run the risk, and speaking as program director, I think we would run the risk although it's hard when it's very obvious that someone's doing that. However, there may be people who have problems speaking live on the radio, and they write their things down. And how would we be to judge? It may be very obvious, but if we cut somebody off, we could be accused of taking sides then? The other side is free to call and read their bullet points too? I don't know. I'm throwing out ideas. It's a hard case by case basis. It would be very difficult to have, you know, a written policy to cover.
Well, you know what? Here's kind of my feeling on this. If you know you've got a ringer, everybody knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. And this happens often when a political candidate is in.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate because it does take up time that might be used in a more productive discussion.
On the other hand, there are people who genuinely call in with you know, a compliment for past service of an incumbent lawmaker or whatever. And that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess the best way, you know, you kind of said it. If everybody knows it's a ringer, then they know it and we'll go on.
If it sounds like, you know, mom's calling in, you know.
There you go.
I don't know. Let's invite other listeners to join us this afternoon. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free 800-222-9455. And I don't remember recently being in that position either.
On this program.
Yeah,
I think it happened on Focus 580 a week ago or so. I'm not sure. I seem to remember listening, and I catch bits and pieces of shows as I'm doing work, you know, during the day, and sometimes I sit there and I think, oh, you know, how long is it not going to go on? But, you know, again, it's, you know, I'm like any other listener at that point. I realize what it is, and I kind of tune it out if it's not something I'm interested in.
Let's talk with another listener. We're going to go next to a caller on the toll-free line in Iroquois County, line 4. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Rolf Jeremis. And I've been listening to this station off and on for 30 years. And I just want to say that I think this is the best radio station that I've ever listened to. And I'm sorry to hear that you're having financial difficulties. And one thing I would say, Dan, is that I don't think enough people have heard this. I come down on weekends for the most part and from the Chicago area. And I just don't think there's enough information known that you're having financial difficulties and that we need to reach a little deeper into our pockets.
Well, you just told everybody listening right now. So thank you very much. I appreciate you listening. You come down to the lake area up there?
No, I live in the Chicago area and I work in Chicago, but I'm down on the weekends. Come down to Iroquois County where I have a farm.
Oh, a farm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, appreciate you tuning us in.
Yeah, and I just really, really appreciate all the programming. I mean, I don't have any comments on the type of programming. I think it's the best that I've ever heard, and I really appreciate it. And I just think you need to get more word out. And I just encourage you to, you know, let people know that you're having a difficult time. Because I just don't, you know, this is great on a Friday afternoon. I happen to be on vacation for a couple days, so I picked this up. But you need to let people know.
Well, thanks. Thanks for the advice. Do appreciate that because, you know, it's you folks who listen who know. And I guess, you know, we have a there's a couple of things involved in that. And I'll just quickly say that, you know, we tend to be journalists, information purveyors, not hypers. And it's, you know, it's a difficult position for us sometimes to hype our own cause and to put it out too much. There's also, you know, you don't want to tell everybody, you know, everything about the situation because people want to be part of a winning team and we want to put forth, you know, that we're winning and moving on and doing things, I guess. And the other is, you know, honestly, inside a radio station, we hear this a lot. Every time we say it, just about all of us hear it. And so I guess we don't realize sometimes enough that people are tuning in and out and here and there. They don't hear everything we say. So while it may get repetitious to us and some of our most ardent listeners who are listening all the time, there are a lot of people who don't hear the message. So thank you very much for that reminder.
Comment. I mean, one of the things I was going to say before, but I kind of hesitated, was I would have loved to, I'd love to have you guys have a receiver somewhere north so that, you know, the folks up north in Kankakee and Iroquois County can pick you up better. I mean, we do appreciate, I was just recently traveling down to Decatur and I was kind of surprised that as I was going west, I wasn't able to pick you up as well as I could to the north. But I think, you know, understanding your financial situation, that's probably not going to happen for a long time. But I guess I just concentrate on saying, I mean, if you ever get the money, that would be a wonderful thing to do. I know WBEZ in Chicago has been doing that. They just put a station in to the southwest in Morris.
Put one in Morris and...
And one in southwest Michigan as well.
And they're working on St. Anne right now, too.
Oh, are they?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd love you guys to do something, you know, north to try to get more of the Chicago crowd.
We would, too. And we're looking at it. And we are working behind the scenes on it to try to make something happen. It's both a financial and a technical thing to find a frequency to get on and stuff. But we'll keep working at it, okay?
You know, thanks a lot. Thanks so much, Dan and Celeste. I love your program, and I love all the programs that you folks produce out of Champaign there at WILL.
Well, thanks a lot.
And keep up the great work.
And it's Jay, by the way, now.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dan. Jay.
Oh, that's okay. I know you get used to it. Dan was manager
that's right.
for 17 years, so... There you go.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks a lot
Jay.
For the call. Yeah.
Right.
Great to hear from you.
Let's talk with a listener in Indiana on line one. Hello.
Hi. Well, you guys are doing an excellent job. There's no question about that. I'm going to ask a question that deals with sort of with transparency, and if you feel the need not to answer it in the full way you could, fine with me. But what are you thinking about for the future? Because if the Republicans take over, there'll probably be less monies for sure for the states, and then certainly be for you. And around where I am, east of Purdue, there's it's in Muncie and Marion area where there's one station, but they have three different callers to use translators, I guess, but they're all on FM.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wondered, you talked about moving up into Chicago in that area. I know you're hindered by West because you have to protect some city over there,
Kansas,
with your antenna. You certainly can hear you over here. Then when you go on at night, I switch in an air loop core I have, and I listen to you sometimes. But it's pretty difficult, because the ground wave's not that great.
Yeah.
But what other ways are you thinking in terms of people who might, in a sense, quote unquote, invest in you, saying, well, these people got their act together.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be worthwhile to give them some real money.
Well, there's a lot of things happening, and we're talking about the technical front right now. A lot of different things. Of course, webcasting. We're on the internet. If you can do that, at WILL.UIUC.edu. We also have in the works digital radio. And of immediate benefit to us on digital radio would be, and a test is being done in Ohio right now at a public radio station that has a similar setup to us, AM and FM, where you can take what's called the secondary audio channel. When you go digital on FM, you get this secondary channel. And if all of the FCC approvals get done, and we can indeed use them this way, we would be able to put the AM, at least for some of the time, if not all of the time, on the FM secondary channel. So when you have a digital radio, you would push the little button that says SAC, and you would get our AM station. Pretty much the same area you can pick up our FM 24 hours a day. So that would cure the problem going west. And it would cure some of the reduction in signal at night, not all of it, because the AM does go farther during the day to the north, south, and east than the FM does. Beyond that, I would propose looking at other secondary audio channels of FM stations that perhaps don't have anything that they're going to do with them, and they would be willing to lease them out, and maybe we could extend our signal farther that way. There is no talk currently. We have a loose affiliation in the state of Illinois. Some states have a public radio network that is all over the state. We have a loose affiliation. We have a council that talks about issues concerning public radio. And, of course, we support the Illinois Public Radio News Bureau. But I don't think anytime soon we're going to become a network throughout the state of Illinois. There's independence and local issues of remaining relevant to your community as opposed to
institutionalized. It works really well in some states that are more homogeneous, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But in Illinois, it's
very diverse.
Tough.
Yeah, it would be tough. And plus, in some states it works because they don't have as many different metropolitan areas.
Right.
They'll have a couple of big ones and then a lot of smaller towns spread out over a wide geographic area, and it makes economic sense to serve them all from one central core. Probably not here. But those are a few of the things that we're always thinking.
Okay. Well, let's talk with another listener. Caller on line two. And this listener is in Urbana. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Well, I have kind of a strange comment. One is I'm a huge supporter of the radio station, and I give every penny, and every time, you know, as you ask for money all week, I end up feeling more and more guilty that I can't figure out ways to get up more money.
Well, thank you.
But on the other side, I was so betrayed in the spring when they fired Bob Edwards with NPR.
Yeah.
And I know NPR isn't you, but you bring me NPR.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, every morning this week I got up and I thought, I want to pledge in Morning Edition because it's so important to me. And then I thought, but these are the people who just, you know, they just got rid of something that was so important and they did it in such a nasty way. And
yeah.
It really disappointed me. It made me feel like I had something that I believed in and I supported and I thought, like, we're all kind of on the same page. And then you find there's a big corporate identity somewhere that isn't on your same page. And I know that personally you can't do anything about
yeah.
that.
I can listen to you, though.
But it sort of, I guess that just brought that home to me. And I didn't know as a station or if there was any way to comment to the big corporate identity people.
Well, we did that en masse. They
Good.
Heard. They heard. And all I can tell you is that in our contact since, they did hear. They learned a lesson, I believe, I hope. Many of us do.
I sit there and I listen to Daniel Shore and I think, you know, oh my gosh, you know, he's like the staple of my life. Or
yeah.
Scott Simon or,
Scott
you know,
Simon
you think they couldn't possibly do something like that. And then they did.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a difficult situation. I mean, there's more to it than you know. And then I know.
Well, that's good.
I'm sure.
I hope so.
You know, but how much of the real story ever gets aired? I don't know. And how much of what I have heard at conferences that I've been to with public radio folks is true? You know, I don't know. I don't really have access to Bob to hear his side of the story unfiltered and, you know, over a drink or something at the bar and hear what he has to say. I've heard the NPR people. So it was an unfortunate situation. I'm glad you called and said something about it if you've been feeling it. That's all I can really tell
yeah.
you. I can't really help, and I guess we'll see how many people listen to Bob on satellite radio as an alternative. Maybe that'll send a message.
And my problem is I don't want to listen to satellite
yeah.
radio. I want to listen to my local public radio station.
Yeah, well.
And I want to support my local public radio station. But then when they're such a big part of your programming, that's
yeah.
kind of a tricky thing.
Well, it's tricky, but remember that, you know, we're a lot more than just the NPR shows.
Oh, well, see, and that's why I called and I pledged during the BBC.
Yeah, well, thanks. Well, okay, great. That's a good way to work it out. Thank you. And, you know, thanks for calling. And just know that we here at WILL listen to you. We hear you. We did share all of the comments that our listeners made about the Bob Edwards situation with NPR, both via email, and I sent them in, and I talked to Kevin Close, the head of NPR, in person about it.
Oh, good.
And conveyed the message, and I know they heard at least some of it. So
okay.
All we can do is collectively cross our fingers that they learned a lesson, and that's not going to happen again.
And that they're not going to touch Daniel Shore.
Yeah, there you go. But I, you know, having said that, I'm sure there are some people on the other side that are glad Bob's gone for some reason or
yeah.
other. We're all, you know, we all have our own
yeah.
preferences.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
there
well,
you thank
go.
You very
well,
much.
Thanks for
well,
your
thanks
call.
For calling.
Thanks
and
for
thanks
your call
for your
this
support
afternoon.
And listenership, too.
I think it reminds us that we become part of people's lives and
I think
you know,
that NPR underestimated that really, really, really
yeah,
for
Edwards,
all of the technical
right? yeah.
reasons. Yeah, that that they may have said Bob didn't do very good interviews or Bob didn't do this or Bob didn't do that or it was time for a change. We wanted to go in a new direction. All of the things they said, I think they very much did forget how personal
yeah.
this medium really is. There are a lot of ways that you can create efficiencies in this business. And I have been known to say very often around here that, yes, there are probably a lot cheaper ways that we could do things here. But would that be the right way to do it? And I think we have to remember that above all.
Okay, very good. We've got to wrap up here as the time is drawing to a close for this portion of the afternoon magazine. Jack Brighton is back with us in the studio. And I think that what we can do is sum up here and echo the folks who called in this afternoon with their comments and say it's really important that we make new friends, that new people join us. here at WILL with a pledge of financial support.
Well, that's right. And we ask you to do that right now by calling our pledge line, 217-244-9455, in support of the service. You know, what I hear Jay is talking about all the time, not only during this past hour, but all the time off the air, is how we can improve what we do here, how we can make the service better, how we can just, you know, serve the listeners. That's really what it's all about. And that's what radio should be. That's the way it used to be when broadcasting was first introduced into the world. It was a way to connect people to knowledge, to views of other domains. And that's the way we try to do things around here. And we think that that's something, you know, we hear people all the time say that they really appreciate that. That's why they are, you know, so enamored with WILL. So we ask you to give something back so we can share that with more people. If you've never joined us before, especially right now, your pledge call is very important. 217-244-9455.
And thanks to everyone who joined us this afternoon, called in with their comments. Thanks so much for caring. Thanks for listening to AM 580. Thanks for contributing. And Jay, thank you.
Well, thank you. Thanks for the time, and, sure. And again, thanks to all the listeners. 244-9455.
It's 8 minutes before 2 o'clock, and settlement prices should be in now from the Chicago Board of Trade. Let's check in with Todd Gleason.
Thanks much, Celeste. From the Board of Trade this afternoon, futures in the bean pit finished the week on a higher note for this day and on a higher note across the week as well. We'll get to those numbers during Commodity Week. That starts at 11:30 Saturday morning. Be sure to tune in. If you can't wait, go visit our website at WILL.UIUC.edu. Just click on AM and then Agriculture. And just a reminder, on the top of each and every page on the website, there is a place, if you'd like, that you can pledge your financial support to the station. Dave Dickey and I, of course, would like you to pledge your financial support to the agricultural programming here. Now, let's take a look at what happened to the Board of Trade for the day. December wheat futures, they were down 3.25 cents for the day, had a high of 312, a low at 308, settlement price at 308.5. Once again, that Dease contract down 3.25 for the day. The March futures at 322, high, low at 318. Settled 318.75, off 3.25, and the May futures, a 326.5 high, low at 322.5, settled 322.75, and they were off a half, or rather off 4 cents for the day. July futures, 330 the high, the low at 326, settlement price there at 326, down 3.75, and the September futures were off 4 cents today at 334 with the high, the low at 332. September wheat settled down 4 at 332.5. From the corn pit, futures were off about 2 cents across the floor. December contract at 204 high, low at 201.5, settled 201.75, just a quarter of a cent above that low for the day, down 2.5 cents. March futures off 2.75 for the day at 214.5 high, low at 212. Settlement price down 2.75 in the March corn contract at 212.25. May futures 222 the high, the low at 219.75, settled at 220, down 2.25. And July futures in the corn pit 228 the high, the low at 226. Settlement price at 226.25, down 2.25. September 234.75 the high, the low at 233, settled on that low, down 2 cents. And next year's December contract, 243.5 the high, the low at 241.25. And the red December for the corn settled at 241.75, down 2.5 cents for the day. December oats, 139.75 the high, the low at 136.5, settlement price at 136.75. They were off 3.75 today. And the March contract down 3.25. With a high of 146.5, a low at 144, and a settlement price a quarter above that at 144.25. The March oats down 3.25 for the day. From the soy complex now, bean futures are a little brighter than the rest of the floor. They were up at the end of the day, 533.5 the high, the low at 525.75, settled at 530. They were up 2 cents. January futures up a penny. At a high today of 535.5, a low at 528, and a settlement price at 532. Once again, that January contract was up 1 for the day. The March futures, 540, the high, the low at 533.5, settled 536.5, up a half cent, and the May beans, 546, the high, the low at 540, settled 540.75, they were up 3. July futures, 553, the high, the low at 545.5, settled at 551, up 3.25. And the August soybeans, 552.5 the high, the low at 549. Settlement price there at 552.5. Up on their high, 3.75 higher for the day in the August soybeans. Now the bean meal futures, 158.30 the high, the low at 156.30. Settled 156.40. They were down 2.10. And the January bean meal, 159.50 the high, the low at 157.60. A settlement price at 157.70. And they were down 2 for the day. December bean oil, 20.90 the high, the low at 20.30, settled 20.85. They were up 45. And the January bean oil, 21.02 the high, the low at 20.48, a settlement price at 20.99. And they finished up 44. I want to go back and pick up a couple of those last contracts out of the bean pit just to make sure I got them right to you. July soybeans settled 3.25 higher at 5.51, and the August at 5.52.5. We're up 3.75. Now, here's Celeste Quinn with the numbers from the Mercantile Exchange.
Okay, here we go. October feeder cattle, 113.20 the high, 112.20 the low, 113.20 the settlement, that up 127.5. November, 111.55 the high, 110.45 the low, 111.42.5 the settlement, that up 147.5. January, 109 even the high, 108.35 the low, the settlement 108.82.5, that up 132.5. October live cattle, 88.02.5 the high, 87.60 the low, 87.75 the settlement, that up 105. November, 86 even the high, 85 even the low, 86 even the settlement, unchanged. December, 88.17.5 the high, 87.70 the low, 88.02.5 the settlement, that up 102.5. December lean hog, 67.55 the high, 66.10 the low, 66.20 the settlement, that down 95. February, 67.50 the high, 66.50 the low, 66.80 the settlement, that down 57.5. April, 65.37.5 the high, 64.65 the low, 65.07.5 the settlement, that up 2.5 cents. And May lean hogs, 65.87.5 the high, 65.60 the low, the settlement 65.62.5, that down 15. And February bellies, 94.75 today's high, the low 93.80, the settlement 94.02.5, that down 40. The Dow off 92 points at 97.73, the NASDAQ off 36 at 19.18, and the S&P 500 down 9 points at 1,097.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety is proud to underwrite agricultural programming on WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
It's time once again to Ask Dr. Science. So let's ask Dr. Science.
That's me.
Remember, he knows more than you do.
That's right.
Jane Pippick from Boston, Massachusetts writes, Dear Dr. Science, my computer has a pair of keys hanging from the fan vent. Are all computers so equipped? Where is the lock that they go to?
Keys hanging from the outside of a machine or a person are usually a signal of sexual orientation. You don't mention which side of the computer houses that fan. If it's on the left, as you're facing the front panel, then it means you have a DOS system.